Good morning and welcome to Peace Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Jeremy Lucky. Today is the third Sunday in Lent and we will have a light bulb moment. Do you ever have those light bulb moments in your life? It doesn't happen every day, but every once in a while you do, and you have a moment of clarity and a moment of conviction on what you should do. We're going to have a light bulb moment today as we hear about the truth of what the Christian church is all about. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. And in that light bulb moment, we realize why we exist, why we're here, and why God loves us so much with that simple phrase from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Before we begin our worship today, we just want to share some announcements. First off, we're happy that you've joined us with this online audio offering of worship. Next week is an exciting week for us because we will be beginning in-person worship services at Peace Lutheran that will begin at 11 a.m. That will be each week in the month of March. We'll have those in-person services at the church. But if you're uncomfortable or unable to attend, know that we will still be offering online worship services, and that will take the form of live stream. That starts next Sunday, Sunday, March 14th. The other bit of information to share with you is that this Wednesday, March 10th at 2 p.m., is the memorial service for Dottie and Doug Farrell. This service is for immediate family and friends, and there will be some extra seating outside the sanctuary if we reach that threshold of 50 people for the service. We will open up the fellowship hall for those to attend and watch the live stream service. That service for Dottie and Doug will also be live streamed. You can catch that at home by going to our Facebook page, which is found by searching on Facebook by hitting Peace Lutheran Church Philomath. Or by going to our website as well. That's found at www.peaceinphilomath.com. And then finally, for our members, I just share that next Saturday, March 13th, we will have a cleanup at the church to spruce it up and get things ready for Holy Week and the special day of Easter, which is truly right around the corner. That does it for our announcements today. We wish you God's blessings, that you would have a moment of clarity to realize why you're a Christian, why you're here, and why that makes all the difference today with that truth that Jesus Christ was crucified. Let us begin by calling on God with our opening call to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are hit open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We hear from 1 John these words of encouragement and challenge. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take a few moments to reflect upon our sins and our sinful condition and look forward to God's forgiveness. We confess, most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen.
And now receive God's complete and full forgiveness. Almighty God, in his mercy, sent his Son Jesus into our world to shine as a light for all people, including you. Jesus has died for your sins and is risen for your righteousness. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now join our hearts and turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O God, who in wisdom created us, though we would become weak and rebellious creatures, knowing that your son's sacrifice of himself on the cross would be necessary to save us,
keep us strong in faith, so that we preach only Christ crucified and boast only in your strong love and mercy toward us.
Through Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first reading for today is our epistle lesson. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, a light bulb moment for Paul, but also for the Christian church, as it is here that we find out why the church exists. It is to preach Christ crucified. This reading will be done responsively between Nicholas and myself. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing,
but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written,
I will destroy the wisdom of the wise,
and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.
Where is the one who is wise?
Where is the scribe?
Where is the debater of this age?
Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?
For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom,
it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe.
For Jews demand signs,
and Greeks seek wisdom.
But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews,
and folly to Gentiles.
But to those who are called,
both Jews and Greeks,
Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men,
and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
For consider your calling, brothers.
Not many of you were wise accordingly to the worldly standards.
Not many were powerful.
Not many were of noble birth.
But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise.
God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong.
God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are,
so that no human being might boast in the presence of God.
He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus,
whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written,
Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
The gospel lesson today comes from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there and making a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said these things to him, "What signs do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, at some point, a person or an organization has to ask the why question. Why? Why are you here? Why do you exist? So also, it's important for a church to ask that question. Peace Lutheran Church, why? Why does peace exist? Peace Lutheran Church does quite a few things, and you know about our activities and what we do. Today we are gathered Today or tomorrow at our church, we are going to be gathered for a drive-in communion service outside, listening to a service over the radio. Why? Someone walking by might say, that's kind of strange. Why are they doing that? We participate in community events like blood drives. Why do we do that? We have our hands open and our ears tuned in to the needs and concerns of the community. Again, why? We gather for Bible study. We have our youth in person for studies. Why do we do that? We pray for each other. Why? It's really important to have an answer to the why question. You see, if you don't have a clear answer to that question, a person or an organization could be busy doing a whole bunch of things, but really have no idea why they are doing them. Or to put it another way, a person or an organization could do things and say such a thing as, I don't know why I do it, I just do it because that's what we've always done. Or worse yet, a person or an organization could do things and do many things, but not do one thing particularly well. That's why you got to have the answer to why. Research shows that when an organization fails to understand its why, it quickly fizzles. So also with a church. If it doesn't understand why it exists, it fizzles and fades away. Let's take a look at our epistle lesson today that was read by Nicholas and myself. You know, in this passage, we know who wrote it. It was the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul did a lot of things. Here are some of those things that he did. The Apostle Paul traveled. We know that he went all the way to the ends of the earth. That was Spain. And we know that he actually went to the other end of the earth. That was Asia. But you see, Paul would have never said his answer for why was traveling. And no one who received his ministry would have said, yeah, Paul, his why was he was about traveling. That's why he did what he did. Paul was someone who also gave great speeches and debated. You see it in our text here. The reference to debating. Paul did that. But again, Paul would have never said that his why is to debate. And those who received his teachings in the synagogues and on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, they would have never said Paul's why was just to debate and give lofty speeches. They wouldn't have never said that. Paul was a tent maker. That's what he did for his career. It helped him get by and supplied for his daily living in the city of Corinth, we know. But again, Paul would have never said tent making was his answer to why he did what he did. And those who received his tents and purchased them from him, they would have never said, oh, that Paul, he did what he did because he was a tent maker. No, my friends, it's here in our text that we have a clear understanding of Paul's why. He says in verse 23, we share and proclaim Christ crucified. That was Paul's why. If you read on in the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 2, Paul goes on to say, when I was with you, I resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Again, Paul did a lot of things. Paul traveled, but now we know why. He traveled to share Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul preached and he debated, but now we know why. Only so that he could proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul had a vocation, a job, a career as making tents. Why? Basically, so that he could share more about Jesus Christ and him crucified. But here's a question. Is that answer to why good enough? Actually, it wasn't for a few groups. Apparently not, according to our text. In verse 23, we find out that the Jews did not think that this was powerful enough. Now, the Jews were expecting a Messiah, absolutely, but they did not expect a Messiah that would be crucified. The Jews wanted a Messiah who would take over the world and give recognition to their ethnicity. But that's not the kind of why answer Paul was giving. The Jews were disappointed. A crucified Messiah on a cross, dying on a cross, according to their holy writ, according to their holy scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 21 specifically, dying on a cross was a repugnant thing. Also in verse 23, we find out that this was also not an appealing message to the Gentiles, this Christ being crucified. See, the Gentiles were actually looking for wisdom, someone who could come and give thoughts that were higher above than what they were living in, someone like Plato or Aristotle. In fact, some of the Gentile famous people spoke ardently against this message, Christ being crucified. Here's one, Tacitus. Tacitus was a Roman historian. And he said that those who were Christians worshipped superstition. Then there was the philosopher Cicero. Cicero said that Christians actually worshipped a dead man. Then there was the emperor Julian, who said that worshipping Jesus Christ was absolutely absurd. They were Gentiles. They were wanting someone who would bring wisdom. Not a dead person, not someone that was crucified. My friends, so also today, many people would say that our answer for why and why we exist is not all that great. I can remember when I first moved to the area, first couple years, I would see a certain person, a lady who walked her dog out on my walks. And we would exchange pleasantries. And after a few occasions of waving and saying good morning, we sparked up a conversation. She asked me what kind of career I had, what brought me to the area. And my response was this, I'm a Christian pastor. I don't usually say that I'm Lutheran. That sometimes confuses people. I just keep it simple. I said I was a Christian pastor. And the lady thought about it for a moment, and she followed up that response with this question. She said, well, that's nice. My grandparents were Christians, and there are nice morals that are taught in the church and some good things that coach people to better behavior. Then she paused some more, and she looked at me very cynically and said this, but do you actually believe that what happened in the Bible actually happened? Like the part where Jesus died and paid for sins? And I paused for a moment and I said quickly after that pause, yes, I believe that. And not just that, but I think it makes a major difference in my life and for the way that I live and for all people, for the way that they should live. You know, Christ and Him crucified, that really wasn't a great reason for the Jews and the Gentiles of Paul's day, and also for us, for many of the people that live around us today. But is it a good answer to the why question, why we exist, to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified? My friends, the good news is that it is. It is the perfect answer. What the Jews missed when they were looking for power and signs from the cross was that the death of Jesus on the cross was the ultimate sign of power by God. Because in the moment that Jesus was crucified, all sins were paid for. And that opened up eternal life. No more did the Jews have to practice the sacrificial system and wonder if they had atoned for their sins. But in that moment on the cross, Jesus had atoned for it all. That was the sign of power. And to the Greeks who were looking for wisdom, what they missed was that in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, there was pure wisdom. Wisdom was no longer a mysterious thought somewhere in the clouds where Plato had thought about concepts that weren't here down on earth. Wisdom was right in front of them. God in the flesh, dying so that God's kingdom could be brought to earth. My friends, today, what are you seeking? Are you seeking things like power like the Jews, or wisdom like the Gentiles? Maybe you're seeking today love. You won't find it if you look for love. But if you look to the cross and Jesus Christ crucified, you will find love. Because it's there that God poured out himself in the gift of his Son to show you that you too are a child in his kingdom. Are you looking for happiness? If you're looking for happiness, you'll never find it. But if you look to the cross and look for where Jesus Christ was crucified, you'll find that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Are you looking for purpose in these days? If you seek just for purpose, you won't find it. But if you look for Jesus Christ and him crucified, you'll see that you have a purpose, because God has a big plan and a kingdom, and he wants to bring you in a part of that plan and give you a place, a little part of his kingdom to live and reside and be and have purpose in life. Here's the thing. If we look for any of those individual things, those power, as the Jews were looking for, or wisdom that the Gentiles were looking for, or love, happiness, or purpose, those popular things that are so important in today's culture, we won't find them. But when we look to Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross for us, my friends, you have them all, and you have them all in spades. Receive today the body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You have everything you need right there as you taste his body and taste his blood for you. You know, a powerful thing happens when an organization or a person discovers their why. Why do they exist? Why are they here? You know, the story of Walgreens, the organization, the company, is a telling one. The company of Walgreens, back in the 1980s, figured out what their why was for existing. You know what it was? They figured out that their sole purpose in their organization was to bring convenience to people. That was it. To have a place in which customers could enter into the parking lot and leave the parking lot in ease, and conveniently get supplies and pharmaceuticals. That was their plan. That was it. And once they figured out their why, Walgreens went to work. And they started to make some crazy decisions. Stories came out that Walgreens would buy up any corner lot. Even if they had a current space in the middle of the block, they would sell that space at a big loss just to get a more convenient location on the corner. Sounds strange to us, but you see, they bought their why. They totally believed in it. Then they started to make drive-through offerings for pharmaceuticals. During this time, that was thought to be a crazy idea, like that would never work. But you see, they totally believed in their why. Then they even did greater things. They bought in urban settings, every other block, they placed a Walgreens. They just believed in that one concept, convenience for their customers. And today, it is believed by people that worked for that company that the moment that turned that company around was when they discovered their why, to bring convenience to customers. My friends, the Christian church has the greatest reason for why we exist, to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. No other organization has a better why than that. Now, here at Peace Lutheran Church, we do a whole bunch of activities. Let us not forget the why behind anything that we do here at this church. We gather together And it's nice to do that. It feels good, and we'll have more moments where we can gather together in person in the time ahead. But let us never forget why we do that. We share the truth that we have a Savior that has given us eternity. We sing songs. And the notes are nice, but let us realize that behind the notes are lyrics that talk and words that speak the truth that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. That's the why. We listen to sermons. Sometimes Pastor Lucky gets it, sometimes he doesn't. That's not the point. The point is this, that in the messages we hear that Jesus Christ has died for us and opened up eternal life. That is the ultimate why. And my friends, we do a lot for the community. Why do we do that? Is it just because we're nice people? No, it's because we're filled up with the love that Jesus Christ died for us, was crucified for us. We're able to spill out that fullness of love out into the community. My friends, we can point the moment of clarity and the moment in which the church really had that light bulb moment all the way back to our text today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul proclaimed the purpose, the why for the church. We proclaim Christ crucified. Let us never forget our why and purpose for being and living. Amen. Having heard about the focus of the church and of what it's all about and why we exist, that we are here to proclaim and share Christ crucified, let us bow our heads in prayer to Jesus himself and offer our concerns and needs to him. We pray. Holy God, you are worthy of all honor and praise. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. All creation worships you. All good things are from you. The greatest and richest ruler is nothing compared to who you are. God, clothe each of us with the humility of Jesus. Give us a gentle spirit and a kind heart, things we cannot have when our pride gets in the way. Help us put others before ourselves and you above all. Give us a hunger for humility and grace. Thank you that even when my pride wells up, you will give me another chance, and in your grace, you will humble me. Thank you for your promise to give grace to the humble.
Amen.
Lord, overall, we ask your gracious answers to the prayers of those near and dear to us. This week, Lord, we especially pray for the Farrell family as they gather for the memorial service of Dottie and Doug. Lord, we also uplift those that have health concerns, specifically for Ellen recovering from surgery, for Jerry and Joyce Holroyd, also Joyce specifically recovering from surgery, for Annie and her full health recovery, for Rachel, Lord, for Pastor Norm Metzler with his health recovery as well. And for those we now mention today, as well as those that are quietly, those names that are quietly in our heart today, for Kai, Haley, Dylan, Holly, Joe and Caroline, Tom and Donna, Barry and Betty, Chris and her family, Jonathan, Melody and Brad, Bob, Janine, Steve, the Motlock family, Kathy, Craig, Kathy, Addie, Tim, Ann, Carla, Rob, Audrey, Dale, and Mark. Visit, relieve, console, and uplift each of them according to your plans, using each one of us where possible as part of the answer to their petitions. These and any other things you would have us ask of you, Heavenly Father, grant to us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We now join our hearts and our voices together in the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. Amen. Before we share the dismissal, just one last reminder. Next week, again, we will have in-person in the sanctuary worship at Peace Lutheran at 11 a.m. And know that you can always count on our online services as well by going to our website or by going to our Facebook page. Those are posted each weekend if you are uncomfortable or unable to attend. We close with our dismissal. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.